first of all, Gittin Zimmer, Gittin Kurdish, to everyone. Good to see you, for coming to learn. On the heels of last week's Parsha, Parsha Shmini, which discussed the differences between kosher animals and non-kosher animals, and looking forward, to this coming week's Parsha of Tazria Mitzvah, which is related as well as we'll see, I wanted to discuss the topic of kosher supervision and the requirement to have a mashgiach to verify the kosher status of different food items. The Torah tells in the Parsha Shoiftim, in connection with capital punishment and Dinei Mamonis, that al pishnayim edim or shloisha edim yakum davar or yumas hames, that matters of capital punishment, Dinei Mamonis, the same is true with regards to marriage and divorce, davar shebi erva, typically require two edim. However, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Zgittin that eid echad, and elsewhere, eid echad ne'mon bisurin. And when it comes to establishing matters of issa v'heter, whether something is permitted or prohibited, so with regards to machalas asurois, so it's sufficient if one has the testimony of one witness. What is that based on? So Rashi explains there that it's a svara, that it's a compelling reasoning, and that is because otherwise, how would one know that meat was shechted properly, or that that someone separated chumas and maizos, unless you could believe the person themselves that they did so? If you'd always require outside verification and testimony of two witnesses that was the case, it would be life would be very different than the way that we know it. Rashi in Masechtas Yevamos adds on a svara that otherwise no one could eat in anybody else's home if it wouldn't be that eid echad neman bisurin. So Rashi seems to be of the opinion that it's compelling, perhaps it's implied by the mitzvah of Shechita and separating Chumas and Maisos, that people will be believed to say themselves, with an eid echad, even though they're talking about themselves, obviously invested in this matter, even though they're related to themselves and they're involved and they're only one witness, nonetheless, they would be believed in eid echad ne'mon bisurin. Taisus, though, Masechtas Gittin disagrees. And he cites a pasuk in this coming week's parsha, in Parshas Mitzvah, having to do with Sfiras Shiva Nekiyim, that is Zava and the contemporary Nida, in order to become Tahar, after they stop bleeding, has to count 7 clean days. And the Torah says, V'safra la, she should count for herself. And the Gemara Darshan's in Masechtas Ksubis, V'safra la, la'atzma, that she can count to herself. She doesn't need outside verification or two witnesses to testify to the fact that she stopped bleeding and that she counted Shemin HaKiyim. She's believed by herself. And Tosfos claims that that's, she's believed about, to say that she stopped bleeding and that she went to the mikvah, then we can derive from here a rule that whenever it comes to matters of issa v'heter, whether something is permitted or prohibited, that it should be sufficient with an eid echad, and eid echad would be ne'mon bisurin. The Rashi presumably rejected this source for the reason that's brought over here by the Ramban, and that is because over there is different. Because how else are we going to negotiate the situation? A woman has to count Shiva Nekiyim. It's unreasonable to expect her to have two witnesses there to testify to the fact that she counted, she stopped bleeding, and she counted Shiva Nekiyim. Obviously, that would be improper. So, since there's no other way of doing it, so of course she's believed. That's what the Ramban says. Hasam e efsha shatavi eidim upsika zivasa v'nidusa l'svirasa l'tvilasa. It's impossible to expect her to have witnesses there. L'ficha chamin satayra v'ein l'meidim imena. That cannot be the source, because there, it's impossible to do it any other way. And when it's impossible to do it any other way, or there'd be no one there else other than the woman discussing herself, so of course the Torah had to believe her. And this is actually a rule that applies throughout Hilchus Eidos. When there's no other way of doing something, even in areas where we typically require two witnesses, and we wouldn't say Eid Echad Ne'mon Bisurin, if there's no other way of doing it, then even those who would generally be unacceptable might become acceptable. For example, the pasuk says in Parshas Kiseitze, Ki Es Ben HaBachar, Aves HaBachar, Ben HaSnua, Yakir. That the father has the ability to identify which one of his children is the Bachar. Now that relates to monetary matters. Typically when it comes to issues of, adjudicating monetary matters or establishing the facts, you require two witnesses. Nonetheless, the Gemara says in Masechtas Kiddushin, based on that pasuk, Ki Es HaBachar, Ben HaSnua, Yakir, Yakirenu L'Acherim. The father can identify which one of his children is the Bechar, and he's believed, even though that's unusual. And the Gemara says, not only is he believed, the mother is believed, who's typically Pasul Yedis, and the Chaya, the midwife, is believed, even though she's typically pasal yedus. So the Rosh in his Tshuvas over here, Ois Beis, explains the reason for that unique halacha. V'tayma she'ein lo ha'id elahu. Who else is going to give? You can't expect there to be two witnesses in the delivery room every time a baby is b'chor is born to later on testify and identify which one, or if there's twins, which one came out first? Who's the b'chor? It's unreasonable. Those are the only people who are present, so therefore they are the ones who are believed. And that's what the Ramban says. That's why v'safra la le'atzma, a woman is believed to say she counted shivinakiyim, she stopped bleeding, she went to the mikvah. She goes, who else is going to be believed? The Ramah actually has a fascinating takanas kadmainim. He says whenever, of course, is a matter of monetary dispute, we require two witnesses. But let's say something happens, a fight breaks out. I thought this was fascinating. In the Ezra's Nashim, you know, there's a fight. I guess they're bidding on Elias. I don't know what they're fighting about. But there's no men present. So who's going to testify as to what happened? So says the Ramah, even though normally we require two witnesses, over here at the end of the first line of a Yesh Aimim, the takanas kadmainim hu. If there aren't men there, or men don't pay attention to it, it's about like whose dress is it, or whose belt is it, or whatever. It's only women who care about this and not the men, so noshim they're mona. So then the women are believed. Now that's a takanas kadmainim, it's not the dindai raisa, but it's the same principle. Some poskim, the shomeshiv, Rabbi Yosef Engel, wanted to apply this as well to a aguna situation. Of a husband who gets lost at war. And there are no Jews present to testify to the fact that he was killed at war, even though one witness is believed. You have to have a Jew. So, but there are no Jews present. You're in the middle of a battlefield where there were all goyim. So maybe, since it's you know, there were no Jews present who could have possibly testified to this, the only available witnesses are goyim, perhaps in that situation we could even rely on a goy to testify that that the husband was killed. Many other achrayim reject that application. But that's the concept over here that the Ramban is arguing, is that this can't be a source for the concept of Eid Echad Nemen Bisurin, because over here there is no other way for the woman to verify that she counted Shivan Akiyam, other than the fact that she's going to testify that that was the case. We can't expect there to be two witnesses or others present.
The Ramban's kash could go on Rashi also, only when it's not possible. Rashi's far should be only when it's not practical then, according to Ramban. If it's practically
needed. No, this is a svara. The svara. Rashi is saying a svara. How can I eat in your house if you have to have two witnesses to everything? He's just saying it's a... And when the Torah says to Shech, the Torah says to separate Trumas and Maestros, you have to have two witnesses there when you're doing it? Rashi says you're adding a lot. So it's implied, perhaps, by all of these mitzvahs that it's not necessary. Tosfos is bringing a source from V'safra Lo. So Rashi said, Rashi might argue like the Ramban, that there's no other way, so the Torah believes it. Meaning, but if we're going to deal with sources, that's not a source. Because there's no other way. Rashi claims it's a svar. Perhaps one important difference between Rashi and Tosfos as to what is the source of the concept of Eid Echad Nemen Bisurin, is it svara? Otherwise, how else could I eat in anybody else's home? Or is it based on the pasuk of V'safra La, La Liatzma, that a woman is believed to say that she counted Shivan Akiyim, is with regards to who's included in Eid Echad Nemen Bisurin? According to Tosfos, clearly, not only is a person allowed to testify about themselves, even though they're Karoi, so Psulei Eidus, are included, but women are included as well. The whole source is from a woman counting Shivan Akiyam. However, Rashi, who doesn't cite that as the source, and the other Rishonim might disagree that even though Eid Echad Nemen Bisurin, and a person is believed to testify about himself that his food is kosher, that might not extend to women.
The kitchen's a woman's
because,
domain.
Huh?
The kitchen's a woman's domain.
Already, we have over here, Ruby's a master chef. So I can't. Anyway, that might be implied by the Gemara Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara tells us over here Maseches Pesachim on Daf Dalet that a woman is believed to say that she did bedikas chametz. So the Gemara asks right over here in the middle of the line, "My time of Mehemni, why are they believed?" So the Gemara concludes that it's because at the end of the second line, the midrash of Abito Baal Masagi Hamnu Rabbanon Midrabbanon. Since bedikas chametz is only Midrabbanon midrash, so it's enough that you're mavatul your chametz, you negate it. And the only requirement to actually remove it from the home to do bedikas chametz is only the rabbanon, unless you mean it, or you might come to eat the chametz. So they required you to bedikas chametz to remove it from the home. That whole requirement is only the rabbanon, and therefore women are believed hamnu rabbanon b'drabbanon. So, but what is the Gemara's kasha? My time of Mehemni. Why are they believed? So Rashi there explains because halav b'nei ashudi ninu. Women are not valid witnesses. They're not able to give testimony. So she can't testify to the fact that she checked the house for Bdikas Chametz. But Taisus asks, when we believe in matter, all matters of Eidach HaNem and Bisurin, that whenever it comes to establishing whether something is permitted or prohibited, women are believed. She testifies all the time that the food is kosher. So Taisus says, this is Taisus Lushitasa, women of course are included, Eidach HaNem and Bisurin. So Taisus says, no, Bdikas Chametz is different. Look over here in the brackets, I don't know, six lines down. Taisus says, Mishum De'ika Tircha Yaseirasa. By Bedikas Chametz, it's very an involved procedure. V'tzarch dikto gado, you have to be very careful. K'demuchu b'yushalmi, shemefarish m'nei shenashem atzloni yasein. Okay, so they're afraid that the woman won't be as careful as she has to be in doing the Bedikas Chametz. So that's why the Gemara questioned, why is a woman believed when it comes to Bedikas Chametz? But Bedikas Chametz is an unusual situation. With regards to all other matters of Issa Beheter, whether something is permitted or prohibited, of course, women will be believed. The whole source of it is from Vesafra, La La Le'atzma, that a woman is believed to say that she counted Shiva Nakim and went to the mikvah. So, of course, women be believed. Bedikas Chametz, which the Gemara says is only because Hamnu Rabbanan, but the Rabbanan, since we're only dealing with a matter which is the Rabbanan, they believe the woman. That's the unique case. However, this issue, whether or not women are included in Eidach HaNem and Bisurin, is two opinions in the Shita Mekubetzes. Over here on Daf Ayin Beis, Meralov commenting on that Gemara v'safra lo la'atzma, where the Shita Mekubetzes writes, "Yesh medaktikin she'ein ha'ish and amenes b'isurin shel Torah el benidusa." This is Rashi's opinion, the Ramban, that women are only believed with regards to v'safra lo la la'atzma, that she counted shivinikiyim. The siv v'safra lo may hasam lo yalfinon. We can't derive from there a general principle that women are believed by matters of what's permitted and prohibited, eidach and b'isurin. The shiny hasam do sagu v'lavalchi. There's no other way. He's not going to know when is her regular time of seeing. And she finished counting Shiva Nakiyim, only based on what she tells him. If we're not going to believe her, so then we're never going to be able to have, conduct normal life if we're going to require outside verification for these matters. That's what the Gemara says. Women are not believed when it comes, they're only believed by Vesafra La 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 Atzma. But other matters of Isurin, women are not believed, and the only reason she's believed to say that she did Bedikas Chametz is because Hamnu Rabbanan b'Drabbanan. Then the Shita Mekubetzes on the fourth line cites a dissenting opinion, Ve'ein Perish Zeh Nochen. No, there are those who disagree. Shekol, this is Taisus' opinion. Shekol makam shamina tera eidach abisurin haish ki isha haisha ki ish v'chol shekem binyani abayis mutal no leah. Certainly, with regards to matters of what's kosher and what's treif, what's what is permitted, what is prohibited, women are accepted. The whole, and they derive from v'safra la la'atzma that women are believed with regards to eidach and abisurin.
So, pasul v'chalav, they are not believed according to the Shita.
According to Taisus, they would be. According to Rashi, they would not be.
No, Rashi would be.
No, Rashi, they're only believed by Bedikas Chametz because Hamnu b'Rabbanan b'Drabbanan and V'Safra Lo La'atzma because there's no other way of doing it. But otherwise, women are not included in Eidach HaNem B'Surin. So now the question is, how does anybody eat, according to Rashi and the Ravid, according to Rashi and the Ramban, that V'Safra Lo La'atzma cannot include women in Eidach HaNem B'Surin, and Eidach HaNem B'Surin is a svara because how else can you eat in anybody else's home? How else can you eat in your own home if you're not able to rely on your wife that the food is kosher, that is permitted or prohibited? So according to Rashi, that the whole source of Eidach, that women are not included in Eidach HaNem B'Surin, except only Shiva Nakiyim, Bedikas Chametz, which is the Rabbanan. How can you go home and eat supper and believe your wife, if she cooks supper, that the food is kosher or treif?
Why are you assuming every time you eat in your house, she's being made on the kashrus of your house?
How do you know that your food is not basa b'chalav?
For a whole life, people. Then you just
Okay, so how do you eat at home? So that's the Ravid already addresses this. The Ravid over here at the end of Oiz Dalet and his comments on the Rif and the end of himself at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim. So he says the time of the Milsa. He agrees with Rashi. Women are generally not included Eidach HaNem B'Surin. It's only Bedikas Chametz the Rabbanon. What about eating in your own home? The time of the Milsa that kol chaverim eitzel mitzvahs. Because she's a religious Jew, and the Gemara has a concept in Masechta Pesachim Daf Tesmet Aleph that Chazaka al Chaver Sheinu Maitzim Yada Dove Sheinu Mesukan. There's an assumption that religious Jews don't keep non-kosher food in the home. By the way, you shouldn't ever keep non-kosher food in the home. The general assumption is kids might eat it. Chazaka al Chaver Sheinu Maitzim Yada Dove Sheinu Mesukan. We don't keep non-kosher food in the home, and certainly we're not serve non-kosher food to others in our home. That's the assumption that we have the right to make by religious Jews. So says the Rebbe, that's the reason a person can eat supper at home, because he can assume that his wife is going to feed him kosher food, because she's a religious Jew. And chazak al chaver, sheinu meotzi miyada davar meinu mesukan.
Can she be made on someone else's kitchen?
So says the Rebbe, then why did the Gemara say by Bedikas Chametz, she's only believed because Bedikas Chametz is the Rabbanan, and they believed her by the Rabbanan. She's a religious Jew. She's not going to be in a house where there was Chametz in it on Pesach. So the Rebbe says, we're talking about, she was testifying about someone else's home, in her own home. They're not going to keep tray for food around, they certainly serve it to others. But what about being made on someone else's home? Is she believed to do that? No. That's what the Rebbe says. That's she's not included in. She was only able to do it because Bedikas Chametz is the Rabbanan, Hamnu Rabbanan b'Drabbanan.
Why would she have to say it at somebody else's home? The other person's home is. The other person's home is.
The other person didn't check it. They didn't check it. And she's coming to say, I checked it, but it's not your home. So then, that's only Hamnu Rabbanan b'Drabbanan. If it would be her own home, she's a religious Jew. She's not going to have non-kosher food in her home, or certainly serve it to others. But according to Rashi, women are not included in Eidachanem and Bisur. No reason you could eat at home. Chazak al chavar she'enu moitzim yodah davar she'enu mesukan. She's a religious Jew. She's not going to serve it to others. But why? A person is believed, a man is believed about himself. He's pasul yedus about himself. A brother is believed to testify to another brother that food is kosher or treif. So psule edus are believed when it comes to Eidachanem and Bisurin. Why should a woman, who's also pasul yedus, be any different than a person testifying about himself, where he's certainly invested in the matter, or certainly a kravim testifying about others? And in fact, the Rama over here, Oizvav, writes, Kol psulei edus ksherim linin isurim. People who are normally possibly edus, a karoiv, yourself, believed when it comes to isurim. So why should a woman, according to Rashi and the Rebbe, be any different? So I believe that it's because a woman is not possibly edus. A woman is simply not a candidate for edus. It's not that she normally can be an aid, but she did something to disqualify her, or in this situation, she's disqualified. She's never a candidate for edus. She's not in the parish of edus. This is perhaps the opinion of Tosis. Tosis over here, Maseches Bava Kama, discusses whether or not a woman can be a dayan, not in the contemporary sense, theoretical sense. Can a woman, she possibly dayonus? So Tosis cites the rule of Maseches Nida, the Mishnah, and Mentes Mebeis, Kol HaKosher Lodun, Kosher Lahoid. If you're able to give testimony, you're able to be a dayan. If you're pasul for testimony, then you're pasul to be a dayan. So Taisus says, woman is pasul as an aid, she's pasul to be a dayan. Then Taisus says in the second line, no, another opinion, that a woman is kosher the dayanus. But she's pasul the aid. Taisus says the whole rule of the Mishnah, Mesechtas Nida, only applies to men who are pasul, not to women. V'yesh leimah dahidu perek bo simen be'ish ayri. Klomer, kol ish ha-kosher lodun, kosher lahoy. Any man who's kosher for edus is kosher for dayonis. If he's possibly edus, he's possibly dayonis. It's the same standard for edus and dayonis. But that wouldn't apply to women. Why would it not apply to a woman? So many explain in Tosfos that the reason is because a woman is not possibly edus. The same standard of psul for edus applies to dayonis. But a woman is not possible. She's simply not a candidate for edus. And she's not a candidate for edus, that would not necessarily speak to her status as a dayan. So even though she's possibly edus, she might be a kasher l'dayanus. Or similarly, the Nesivus over here, Oishches, cites from the Tumim that even though we generally have a rule that nimsa echamehem karav apostle, if you have a group of edim, and one of them is possibly edus, the entire group becomes possible by association. That's why at a wedding, we set aside two people who will be witnesses to the Kiddushin, even though we're all witnesses to the Kiddushin. We set aside a separate group, that they are the official Edim for the Kiddushin. Why do we do so? To separate them from the larger group, because if there's someone in the larger group who's possibly Edus for whatever reason, that might invalidate the entire group, and there'll be no witnesses to the Kiddushin who could testify. So therefore, we separate two as a separate group, distinct from the rest of the group. Nimtze Echomeyhem Karvu Pasul. One of the people in the group is Pasul. The entire group is Pasul by association. So Nesivus quotes from the Tumim, from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, that doesn't apply to a woman. If you have a woman in the group, she would not invalidate the rest of the group. Why is she any different than any other Pasul or Karav? See, the answer is because a Pasul or Karav is Pasul Yedis. He's a Kasher, he's a candidate for Yedis, but he's Pasul. So then he invalidates the entire group. However, a woman is simply not a candidate for Eidos at all, under any circumstances. So since she's not it's not in the Torah's Eidos at all, so since she's not an aid, she doesn't negate the entire group. So too, similarly over here, it seems that Rashi and the Rebbe were of the opinion that Eid Echa Nemam Bisurin is a form of testimony. That one, even though in other areas of halacha it's enough, you require, sorry, the standard is two witnesses, when it comes to matters of isur v'heter, what's permitted, what's prohibited to eat, it's enough with one witness. And even those who are psulei edus, karoiv, yourself, other people perhaps who are posuli edus, would be kosher when it comes to eid echad nemun bisurin. It's different than typical edus, but it is testimony. And therefore a woman would be excluded. And the only, because she's not an aid at all, she's not possibly aidus, she's never a candidate for aidus, so she'd be excluded here too from aid echon nemen bisurin. The only reason a person could trust, let's say, his wife, that the food in the house is kosher, she shopped at a kosher store, is because chazak al chaver she'enu motzmi yalda davish enu masukan. Religious Jews keep only kosher food in the home, and certainly would not serve non-kosher food to others.
But in Nida, she is an
aid. In Nida, because there's no other way.
I understand, but she
yes,
is an aid.
Taisvis, correct. Taisvis seems to be of the opinion, from the fact that he derives from the case of a Sefer Lala Atzma, the rule that of Eid Echad Nemen Bisurin, that women are included in this rule as well, this principle as well, and we're not dealing with any testimony at all. We're not dealing with testimony, we're dealing with the fact that religious Jews are believed to say whether something is permitted or prohibited. Even though in other areas of halakha you require testimony, when it comes to Yisurim, we don't require testimony at all. So even though a woman is puzzled in aid, this has nothing to do with eidus. Yisurim doesn't require eidus. It's the nemanus that women, that religious Jews are believed to say whether or not something is permitted or prohibited, and therefore a woman would be included. I think Tosis has this has nothing to do with testimony. Rashi and the Rabbi believe it's testimony, so women are not kosher as an aid in any point in time, so therefore they're excluded. But it's a different type of testimony. A karov is believed, one witness is believed, but it's testimony nonetheless.
But this other cloud that Rashi and the Rabbi have.
Chazak al chaver, yeah.
Why is that? What, is that limited to kashrus? You're saying that's limited to all these. It's not limited to kashrus. A religious Jew doesn't do an isur. He doesn't want somebody else to do an isur. So why are you drawing the line around kashrus? You should be able to.
No, chazak al chaver sheinu motz miyad davish sheinu masukin. I don't have anything in my house that's prohibited. Not that a person, it's not a chazaka, everybody who's married got married in the proper way. There's no such chazaka. There's a chazaka that you don't have prohibited food in your house. So we could assume Trumas and Maisis. If I walk into your house and there's apples in the refrigerator, I could assume that the Trumas and Maisis were taken off if it was required and things like that. That's the assumption. So yeah, people religious Jews. Huh?
Nemanus is a different standard.
Yes, Nemanus is just it's a separate rule. It's not that testimony.
So a woman could be a
mashkiach. So how do we paskin? Is a woman included in Eidach and Nemanus Yisur or not?
Going to Rashi, Vesafrala is a lima that you don't need Eidach. It's like same.
But Vesafrala is a whole separate issue because there's no other way of doing it.
I understand, but Ruby said it's Eidach. Maybe it's not Eidach. It becomes like a
Chazak. Maybe. I think it's more of a Xerzak. Exactly. So the Rama writes over here, look at the end of Oizvav. Ish and Emenes bedavar Iser lomer takantiv. A woman is believed to say that she fixed something, meaning she took off Trumas and Maisers. Now, does that mean that a woman is included in Eidach and Nemen Bisurin like Taisis? Or does this mean that she's really not included, but Chazaka al-Chaver, Sheinu Motz Miyadu, Davar Sheinu Masukan? She's not going to have prohibited food in the house or certainly serve it to others. The Rama implies that it's more that just she's not going to have this item in her house. Or otherwise, he would have just said, the typical language, that she's believed. It's not what he says. He says she's believed to say takantiv. Nonetheless, Ramosha has a famous tshuva to an almana who lost her husband, whose business was in giving hashgachas, and she wanted to, in order to have a panas, and need to be able to continue his business. Ramosha allowed her, even though there were issues of communal appointments for women, which is what he really focuses on in the tshuva, and that's what he received a lot of a lot of controversy surrounding the tshuva, because she was a woman, he was allowing her to occupy a position of authority within the community. But with that issue aside, Ramesha discusses, is a woman believed to give a hashgacha, to testify, to verify the kosher status of the food? Is she believed in Eidach and Nemen Bisurin? So Ramesha discusses both opinions back and forth. Some hold yes, some hold it's only if it's her food coming out of her own home. But then Ramesha is meiko in this situation, because he says, V'lachein over here, ois tes, af b'shel acherim, im rami alayu, avizeh kamo b'shel ahen. Ramesha says, when she's a mashgiach in a certain bakery or shop or whatever, butcher, so it becomes like her house. She is responsible for it. She's a achraya. She's giving the hashgacha. And therefore, just like we say in her own home, chazaka kavar she'enu moetzim yodah davar she'enu mesukan, you're not going to have non-kosher food or serve non-kosher food to others, the same would extend to any store that she's licensed or she's engaged to give a hashgacha on that store, that she would be believed. And others disagree that perhaps it's only in your own home, and not in giving hashgacha for someone else's home. But that's the psak is like Rav Moshe, that a woman can be believed, but that might satisfy both opinions. Either because of Eidach and then Bisurin, women, according to Tosfos, women are believed in all matters of Issa V'Heter, or perhaps because it's considered to be her own home. Typically in New York, you don't find a woman being a mashgiach. I've never come across it. But out of town, you have it in often.
College campuses.
But you have it in a lot of places out of town. How you have it.
How does the fact that she's makes it like your own home?
Because now she's responsible for it. She's responsible for it. So chazaka al chaver. Right, exactly. Yes, correct. It was controversial, but Rav Moshe is Rav Moshe.
It's controversial for the other reasons.
It was controversial, very controversial for the communal appointments for women because of that issue, but it was also controversial on this issue, but Rav Moshe has a way of overcoming
controversy. Is there also because the social norms have changed also, so maybe because of that became less controversial.
Yeah.
Is there a standard for Neidach?
No, sometimes it's not possible in any other way also.
Is there a standard for Neidach?
Yes, so right.
We have a male.
You have to be a firm Jew. There's nothing other. There's no. For a man, I'm talking about.
Yeah, it has to be a firm Jew. But how do you know? How do you know? That's the problem.
If you have a firm Jewish caterer, why do you need a mashgiach?
Oh, okay, right now. Oh, excellent. So, but this machlok is whether or not there's the Eidach and Nevin Bisurin is a kind of Eidos. But it's a little bit different. It's really testimony, but here it's enough with one witness, and even Karv is believed, but perhaps a woman not, and she's only believed because Chazaka or Chavashen and Moitzim Yadav Shen Mesukan, or whether or not this is an emanus that all religious Jews are believed to say. It's not Eidus at all. All religious Jews are believed to say confirm that whether something is permitted or prohibited has many perhaps differences with regards to whether or not this has the same regulations as Eidus. For example, Reb Chaim discusses in his Kedusha Manshas, what would you say about Eidach who wants to recant his testimony? Typically, with regards to Eidos, we have a rule, Kemen Shehigin, Shuvein Achazer Magid. Once you give testimony, you can't recant that testimony. Should that apply to Eidach and then Bisurin? So that's a Machlaikis and Chayshim Mishrit, and the Nesivis, and the Machne Chaim. Yes or no? So Reb Chaim claims that depends on this issue. Rashi and Tosfos is Eidach and then Bisurin a kind of testimony? In which case the rules of testimony should apply, or is it just that all religious Jews are believed to believed whether or not something is prohibited or permitted? Or another difference might be video cameras. Can I establish hashgacha based on video cameras? So there I could ascertain whether something is kosher or treif in theory, but it's hard to call that testimony. There's nobody there testifying to it. So whether or not video cameras are kosher, practically video cameras are never used. In giving hashgachas alone, they're sometimes added to a mashgiach who's yoytzev nichnas, because video cameras don't really tell the whole story. Not only can they be manipulated, as we know, but you can't tell when a package comes in what's in the package. I mean, there's so many possibilities of getting around the video camera. The video cameras are never enough for hashgacha. But in theory, whether or not other forms of verification would be good enough for a hashgacha might depend on this issue. Do you need testimony to, formal testimony, edus, or is perhaps other forms of verification good enough? But either way, whether it's edus or whether it's just that religious Jews are believed to verify whether something is permitted or prohibited, the Torah already writes, over here, Oisyud, that there used to be, and of course, individual sheikhtim who would show their knife to a chacham, and then they would be believed that their meat was kosher. But the Rush writes, again, the Rush is 13th century, Germany in later Spain, Kasav Adoni Avi Arush, Ve'idna Noegim Echol Goas Yisrael She'em Aminim L'Katsavim, we don't believe the butchers, U'memanim Anashim Yiduim Al-Ashchita V'Al-Abdika. We have a Mashgiach that's there with the sheikh, testifying to the fact that the shechita was performed properly. So even though the sheikh might be a religious Jew, whether it's testimony, whether it's nemonus, there's a rule, Eidach and Nemon Bisurin, as long as he's a religious Jew, he's believed to testify or to verify that this food is permitted or prohibited. Already in the times of the 13th century, the minhag was, b'chol galus Yisrael, to require a separate mashgiach for someone who's providing food, not for himself, but for the community. And similarly, the Chayyadam, this is again, immediately 400 years later, but the Chayyadam writes, Af agav, de bistam adam she'enu yadua muchashir olo, even though we have, you know, we encounter someone who claims to be a from Jew, but we don't know, ma'achzikinin ocho b'cheskas kashrus, we assume that he's a kasher Jew. This might not apply anymore in our times, but okay, because there might be people who might testify, you know, present themselves as religious Jews, but might not know anything about kashrus. But this guy presents himself as a religious Jew, and presumably, or professes to know something about kashrus. Mutalecho imo kishnasar chesli. He can eat in his house. Nonetheless, writes the Chayyadam, mikomakam liknos mimenu, to buy stuff from him. Yesh aimrim da aser. When he's providing food for others, so when he's being paid for it, and there's motivation to lie. Yesh aimrim da aser. Again, this is not meikar adin. Meikar adin eidech hanem bisurin. But this sounds like this was a takanas hakahol already from the times of the Rush. And certainly extending to the times of Chayy Adam, the Aser called Davar Sheesh Lachush Bogu Davar Isar Fil Durabanan. To require some sort of separate verification of Mashgiach to testify to the fact that the food was kosher and not prohibited. Says the Rosh, this is true. Ela Imke, I'm the Chayy Adam, I'm sorry, over here on the third line. Ela Imke Makirnoso Shehu Muchsak Bekashrus. Unless we know him intimately. I can verify that this guy knows what he's talking about, and he's beyond suspicion that even when there's money involved, there's no way he would compromise on his standards of kashrus and cut corners. And how many people can we say that about in our times? But we know them intimately, and there's no way, even under the greatest of pressures, that he would compromise on his religious standards. So if you know that to be the case, as a chayyadim, then you can believe him, even if you're buying the food from him. But otherwise, it's a takanas hakal to require a separate kosher supervision, hashgacha, and not to rely on eid echa nem bisu when you're providing food on behalf of the community. And fascinating, they found over here in the Cairo Geniza. This is from the 11th and 12th century, a kosher certification for cheese. Now, it was for Karaites, for Karoim, so they were not even professing to be religious Jews. But you already find this kind of takanas hakal, a kosher supervision already extending back to the 11th and 12th century. And that's the general practice in our time, is that not to rely on Eidach and Nehman Bissurin, even when it comes to from Jews, but to require a separate Mashgiach kosher supervision, unless one knows the person intimately and can tell, you know, as absolute certainty that the person will never compromise on their religious standards, even under the greatest of pressures or financial pressures. So therefore, it's important to keep in mind the person who travels around and he finds himself in a far-flung place and the only food that's available is Chabad, and that Chabad is the Mashgiach, is the proprietor, is the owner, and the provider, and the distributor. It's really, that's not keeping with our general standards of requiring a separate Mashgiach who's uninvolved in the situation. You might say, well, he's a religious Jew, he's the rabbi, I would eat in his home. The standard is not if I would eat in his home, because here he's providing food on behalf of the community. And when you're providing food on behalf of the community, the pressures are entirely different than a person who's serving food at his Shabbos lunch. So even though we would eat in his home, and maybe our standard is a person presents himself as a religious Jew and seems to know something about kashrus, we eat in their home, generally speaking, more or less. When a person's providing food on behalf of the community, we have a higher standard, and we require a separate mashgiach who's uninvolved in the business side of what's taking place. Or in some communities, I can speak, you know, from my own personal experience, there are women who form, you know, they have baked such good kukkish cakes or whatever, babka, people say, start a business. So they start a business, start baking for a few people, and then providing for a bunch of people for Shabbos for dessert. Such a business requires a hashgacha, even though I would eat in their home. That's the standard when you're eating in their home. But when they're providing food for the community, we have a higher standard and a hashgacha should be required. Okay.